Welcome to the Scalable Real Estate Investing Podcast, where we discuss the most scalable strategies, tools, and approaches to successfully invest in real estate. Learn how to make the most impact of your time, automate your real estate investing business, find off-market deals with minimum time invested, and leverage your capital to create as many income streams as possible so that you can achieve true financial independence. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Mason Clement. Hi, Scalable Investors. Before we get into today's episode, I'd like to tell you about a group that I'm a part of called Hivemind. If you're serious about taking the next step in your real estate investing career, then this is definitely a group that you need to join. Some of our members are making $90,000 or more per month and as much as $300,000 on just one deal. And at the same time, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars like you typically would joining other mastermind groups. This is only $99 per month. And when you join, you'll gain access to a robust integrated CRM software that allows you to track your leads, run automated triggers, and ultimately scale your marketing efforts. So the difference here is that you're not left high and dry, but gain access to a support network that allows you to use that tool and learn from other more experienced real estate investors. So to learn more, go to scalablerei.com/hivemind. That's HIVEMIND. Thanks a lot. Let's get into the episode. Hi, Scalable Investors. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Scalable Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Mason Clement. And today we have with us Stephen Weibel, who is a Marine Corps veteran and has a very deep background in real estate, sales, flipping, property management, and building business credit, which is what we're going to focus on today. He's author of Business Credit, Complete Step-by-Step Guide, and is an expert in teaching businesses how to secure loans without using their social security number, which is what I'm very interested in. And so let's just jump into things now, Stephen. How are you doing?
I'm good, Mason. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. I'm glad to have you on the show. But like I said, before we started recording, I've been considering how do I start getting some lines of credit for my own business as I start expanding, and you know, my own capital can only be stretched so far if it's locked up in other deals. So,
that's true. And I want to first of all get rid of a misnomer that's out there about business credit, what business credit really is, as opposed to what people think it is. Because we as consumers think about lines of credit as something you can write a check against, right? That's what we all think about, right? Take a line of credit against your house, whatever. Business credit is actually credit that you get to run your day-to-day operation. So, for example, when I was in the printing business, I had millions of dollars in credit with paper vendors, ink vendors, box vendors, you know, bindery companies. Other companies would give me credit, and I in turn would give credit to major corporations who were my customers, right? So that's credit. Walmart's entire business plan is built on business credit. If you wanted to sell Walmart something, they're going to want terms from you. They're not going to pay cash, right? However, in the real estate world, and I'm not necessarily sure if this helps with it with the land world, but in the real estate world, where business credit was a big boost for, at least for me, was getting high limit credit with places like Home Depot and Lowe's, and getting Visas, MasterCards, American Express, vehicle financing, gas cards. I mean, anything I needed, Amazon, which didn't even exist when I was flipping properties. If you're going to stage a property, you can get terms from Amazon, revolving credit terms. These are the type of things that business credit is important for. In addition to that, if you have a real operating business, and what I mean by that is you have employees, you're manufacturing something, or you have a store, whatever. If you ever go for an SBA loan, they're going to pull your personal credit. They're going to pull your P&L and all that, but they're going to pull your business credit too. And what I like to say to people is it's like a wheel. And if you look at this wheel, imagine one quarter of it missing. Because most people have no business credit profile, none whatsoever. Now, where it pertains to real estate investing, I gave you some examples, but I'm going to tell you why it's more important in real estate. Because we all know when we run our credit cards up, what does our score do?
It goes up if you pay it down, right?
No, if you run it up, it goes down. Your utilization rate goes up, your credit score goes down. So what I chose to do was never use my personal credit unless it made me money. So if I was, you know, buying something, I'll use Home Depot again as an example. I was going to buy $20,000 in something from Home Depot to rehab a house. I didn't use my personal credit cards for that. I'd use my business credit cards, because in the business credit world, utilization has zero impact. Inquiries has zero impact. How much debt you have has zero impact. What impacts your credit scores in the business credit world is how do you pay your bills? Do you pay them on time? If you do, you get a good credit score. So that's really what business credit's about. And I wanted to bring that up, Mason, because we talked about lines of credit. And that's the phone call I get 99 out of 100 times a day. Hey, I want to get an unsecured line of credit just based on my business credit. Here's the problem with that. Business credit is tied to your business only, not you, right? So imagine a guy like me who understands how to build. I'm an expert. How easy it would be for me to start five companies, build up my business credit profile for all five, go get unsecured lines of credit from banks, and then just pay myself $100,000 a month in salary. And, oh, well, company's out of business, right? So it's really risky for the banks. Banks are never going to give cash without a personal guarantee or an asset until you become what we call an institutional borrower, $50 million or more. Or, for example, the 187-unit apartment complex I did, it was a non-recourse loan. And so I had tax credits on it and whatnot. And it was a non-recourse loan because the asset and the cash flow more than covered the debt. Right. So they were kind of hoping I didn't pay. the bank could take it back. So that's really what business credit is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm glad you brought that up, though, because I realized that if there's nothing else, the bank can still loan on that specific asset, that specific project and that cash flow. But I've been wanting to understand more. What can they go off of when they're trying to underwrite something, if your business doesn't have a lot of financial data and it doesn't have a specific asset? Like for my land investing business, for example, I know land is not a great example because most banks always require a super high amount of equity in there because they don't want to have the risk of being stuck with land. It's like a non-cash flowing asset, at least on the surface. So, but I was just wondering what else they go off of if it's not like my personal credit or my business's financial data. And
it's strictly the three C's, my friend. It's going to be cash flow, credit, or collateral. That's it. It's really their plan, they being lenders, is based on those three items. Okay. So if it's not cash flowing, which obviously land doesn't, right, then they've got to go to the next thing, which is going to be your credit. What's your credit look like and your corresponding income? Can you cover the debt? And then third will be the collateral. What's the collateral worth? Now, look, I know most lenders want to see 50% equity in land. Is that still true today?
Roughly? Yeah, I think it varies based on the lender, but that's about right. I've heard 50 to 60. Yeah.
So if you buy a property worth 200 grand, but you can get it under contract for under 100, you've got the equity, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, my focus was on properties. As we discussed earlier, I never even bought one piece of land my whole life. It was always properties. So mm-hmm. I would get into these properties with private money. And they would escrow, let's say, $30,000 in construction. And that's kind of, have you ever used private money before?
I'm looking to start raising some private money, but I haven't yet.
Okay. Typically how hard money lenders, they call them hard money because it hurts. But how they typically work is they'll fund your purchase, they'll fund your construction, but they're going to hold the construction back, right? And they expect you to front it. And then they'll release that in a series of draws. So if we took a $100,000 house with $50,000 in construction that was worth, let's say, $250, they'll fund the $100, they'll escrow the $50, and as you're completing series of the work, in other words, a percentage of the work, they'll release that. It might be $225,000 draws, it might be $510,000 draws. Whatever that agreement is, you have to front that money. So here's where real estate investors run into a lot of problems. They get all excited, they get the property, they start to work on it, and they run out of cash on the first draw. They don't even get to the $25,000, right? So now their lender's charging them interest on money they don't have, and they can't complete the project. I've seen this 100 times. But let's change that up a little bit. Let's assume they have $50,000 in credit with Home Depot, $25,000 with Lowe's. They have a couple of Visas and MasterCards that are all in the business name only, not tied to them personally. Couldn't they rehab that property? Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sure. They can rehab it. They can get the draws from the lenders, pay off those credit cards, right? So now they're zero balance again and move on. Or like I did, take those draws, put them down on three more properties because at that time, properties were selling so fast. I was in it from 03 till 08, 09. that's really where business credit was ideal. As a matter of fact, the vehicle you drive around in, I mean, your business is investing in land, correct?
Right.
So every time you go to look at it, do you buy locally or is it all national where you don't actually have to go see it?
I usually don't go see it So okay. I have some properties in North Carolina and some like other parts of Texas and stuff. So
okay. In my world, you would want to go see the property, obviously, right?
Right.
So I didn't want to drive a car that was in my name. I was doing business, right? So I made sure I bought an F-150 in the company name with no personal credit check. So it's those little things that don't sound like a lot, but when you think about it, my debt to income ratio was almost zero on my personal credit. So when it came time to buy that 187 unit apartment complex, I wasn't worried. I knew my credit score was high enough. And ironically, I got a non-recourse loan, but I did buy a 32 unit apartment complex for 300 grand that I sold for 1.1 million in 6 months. And I was able to call my bank and get an approval on a loan in 5 minutes. I only had about an hour to make a decision on this deal. It was a tax sale certificate. But because I didn't max out my credit all the time, remember, I never used it except when it made me money. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So that's really what business credit's about. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, nobody knows about it. Manufacturers know about it because we had no choice. Like, a manufacturer can't survive without credit from its suppliers. It just won't make it. There's no manufacturer. Like, think about t-shirts. So if somebody produces a million t-shirts a month, screen printed, they're a screen printer, they have to buy those t-shirts from somebody, right? Well, they need to get credit from that supplier, and that t-shirt supplier has to get credit from the cotton manufacturer, right? So that's how that chain works, and that's why business credit exists. Now we all work from home. We're all virtual. Everybody's, you know, one and two man or women bands. Nobody knows about business credit. They don't teach it. They don't even teach this in business school. But yet every CFO in the country knows about it. Every CFO. It's weird. Once you get a strong business credit profile, typically 15 to 20 trade lines reporting, the tide shifts. Instead of you looking for money, it starts looking for you. And I'll explain. So if you have, I assume you have good personal credit, you don't have to answer me. Anyone with good personal credit probably goes out to their mailbox every single day and there's a credit card offer in there. There's a personal loan offer. There's some sort of loan offer in the mail every single day.
They're so tempting too.
They really are. I remember I was tempted the other day. I saw a Bank of America deal. I'm like, no, I don't need it. Anyway, they didn't just randomly send that to you. They bought your information from the credit reporting agencies. Credit reporting agencies are nothing more than data salespeople. That's all they are. They gather data and then they sell it to whoever's willing to pay for it. So they bought your data from the credit reporting agencies by saying, hey, I want everybody from a 700 to an 850 credit score in this zip code, this income level. Well, don't you think the same thing happens for lenders, commercial lenders? They want to find qualified borrowers. Where do they go to buy the data? They go to the business credit reporting agencies, Dun & Bradstreet, Experian Business, Equifax Business, and they pull your credit score. Here's the problem. If you have nothing reporting on your business credit report, zero, no negatives, no positives, no nothing, it literally says that you have the potential to be bankrupt in the next 12 months, right on your credit report. And you've done nothing wrong. So 99% of the businesses I talk to have nothing reporting. So if I pull their report, it basically looks like they're going to go bankrupt. So now if I'm going to do business with them, I'm going to be concerned, right? But what's cool about business credit as opposed to personal credit is, instead of taking years and years and years to build a good profile, you can do it in a matter of months. Even one trade line reporting on your business credit report will jump your score. Literally take you from a 26 to a 50, which is from failing to at least passing. And then as you build, it gets thicker and thicker. And unlike personal credit reports, business credit reports actually recommend you for a credit limit based on your history. So I've seen people go from a $1,000 credit limit, which typically start up, within 1 year being recommended for $250,000 of credit. It's crazy.
So how do you go about reporting this credit and building that credit?
Yeah, well, that's the issue. That's the hard part and why people fail. You have to know who reports. Not everybody reports. As a matter of fact, only 7% of all businesses report to the business credit reporting agencies because it's expensive, right? So you have to know who reports and where they report, because you've got your Dun & Bradstreet file, your DUNS number, and then you have your Experian and Equifax. Well, vendors check Dun & Bradstreet, banks check Experian. So you want to make sure you're building both profiles. And that's difficult if you're not sure who reports and where. So that's really our secret sauce. That's what we know. We have underwriting criteria. We know exactly who reports and where and when you should apply. It's not difficult to do. It's just knowing which order to go in. I've seen people go apply for vehicles in their business name and get turned down, and they're very frustrated. They don't understand because they have three trade lines reporting. Well, what they don't realize is they're 12 trade lines away from being approved. You have to know
When you say trade line, like line of credit, I mean?
Well, yeah. Basically, what that means is somebody gave you credit. It's reporting as a trade credit. Okay. So like that t-shirt manufacturer, their cotton supplier would report that they buy cotton from them and they have X amount of credit available to them. Okay. Or they've utilized X amount of credit. And here's what's cool. In the business credit world, unlike in the personal credit world, they don't say who it is. So like a Home Depot wouldn't show up as Home Depot. It would show up as lumber or hardware supply. It don't make sense to you. When I was in the printing business, my business credit report was filled with paper vendors and ink vendors with no names, because business credit reports are public information. And what I mean by that is I don't need your permission to pull your business credit report. I can just pull it. If I'm willing to pay the $50, I can pull it. So your competition is going to do that too, especially in the manufacturing world. Who are they doing business with? How are they getting their paper so cheap? Right? So, and people don't realize this, but customers will pull your business credit report.
Because how do I know if my suppliers are actually reporting my credit like I want them to build my credit?
Well, I can tell you 97% don't. They just don't. You can ask them. Just flat out ask them. I'm going to tell you, you're going to run into almost nobody reports. Who reports are the major credit card reporting or companies? The certain vendors do. Vehicles, I can tell you Ford, Toyota, and Allied report. Chevy, Dodge do not. American Express, there's a couple of Visas and MasterCards do report. The majority of them don't. And you got to be careful. Like, for example, and I'm not trashing Capital One, but Capital One, everybody knows about the Spark credit card, right? The business Spark card. It is a personal credit card. It reports on your personal credit report, not your business credit report. So there are credit cards out there where you can personally guarantee them and it'll report only on your business credit. So it, utilization doesn't affect you. And we have a program where we can help you get those, but you just got to be careful. Like Discover, I have a Discover business credit card. It reports in personal credit. So I don't use it. It's a waste, right? I have a couple other banks that only report on business credit. So I can max them out. Doesn't matter. Doesn't affect my score. The only thing that will affect my score is if I personally guaranteed them and I go bad, then it will report on my personal credit. But you just don't go bad, right?
Right.
It really is a game changer. Anybody who invests in real estate, to me, your job is to protect your personal credit for when that opportunity comes along. Because we all get them. We all get lots of opportunities in our life, right? It's those that are prepared that end up being the lucky ones, right? I mean, that 32-unit apartment complex, I'm telling you, I had 5 minutes to make a decision, basically. And it paid off. I mean, I should have kept it. It was bringing in 30 grand a month in rent, but I was prepared for it, where there was other people that were bidding on it that weren't. That's right. The real difference. And that's really what business credit can help you do. It can help you prepare. And what's great is it's a mind shift. What'll happen is you'll stop even thinking about using personal credit. You'll just use your business credit for almost everything. You know, every major store in this country gives business credit. Every major store. Amazon, Walmart, Macy's, well, if they're still around, JCPenney, just every major store, AutoZone, just think of a major chain. They give business credit, right? So even if it doesn't work to buy land, think about everything else that you spend that involves your business. Apple gives business credit. Dell gives business credit. And I'm talking about credit that's not tied to you personally.
Yeah, there's still a lot of operating costs. Like,
right, exactly.
To find the land, you still have to send out mail and pay my virtual assistants and all this other stuff.
That's exactly right. You can get Vistaprint will give you business credit. I mean, just there, everything you spend money on, you can usually get credit to do that. And it's not that you want to put everything on credit. I'm not like a credit hound, right? Like, let's just go into debt. But controlling your cash flow is key to any business. No business goes like this, right? They all go like this. You know, cash comes in. You know, I put it this way. Anybody doing $1.2 million a year in sales is not doing $100,000 a month. they're doing 1.4 or 140,000. The next month, maybe 80,000. That, you know, it's a hilly rise. So when that happens, you've got to have enough credit available to support those down months, down weeks, whatever. And you've got to be able to control that. I'll give you another example. Truck drivers. What do you think they spend most of their money on? Over-the-road truckers. That's exactly right. So you and I, if we apply for a gas credit card, we may get approved for $300-$500, right? Because what are we going to spend on gas, right? They know that. But if my, you know, Steve Weibel LLC trucking company or Steve Weibel Trucking LLC applies for a gas card, I can get $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 credit limits. Now, you're a truck driver. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you can control your, because they're always putting cash out of their pocket for that fuel, right? Wouldn't it be nice to know you had a little bit of revolving credit or at least net 30 terms where you don't have to pay that gas bill until you get paid?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's really what the key to the whole strategy is, like just selling it first. So like I have a prior business partner. I previously lived in China for 2 years. I started a product development company and we realized that it was very difficult to, it was just a cash flow timing issue. Like our client in the US would want to pay us after it ships from China to the US and clears custom and everything. And then they still want to pay it within like 30 days. And it's like, well, I want to get paid first by you. So then I can use that cash to pay the manufacturer. Cause I, you know, otherwise my business is going to bottleneck and I can't grow the business if it's all stuck.
And that's what happens. Yeah. And my friend, in that industry, they always use letters of credit, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what they used to use. I almost started importing from China at one time. So I kind of lined all that up. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. If you have to give your customer credit and your manufacturer won't, you're done. You're out of business. You can't support it. Nobody, no individual can financially support that. Right?
Right.
So I would have never taken my company to $25 million if my paper vendor said no, COD. I'd have been done. You know, I had Blue Cross Blue Shield wanting 60-day terms from me. The U.S. government wanted 90-day terms, which is ironic because try to pay your taxes 90 days late.
Yeah. Why do they get that break?
Yeah, right. And here's the thing. Mention the U.S. government. And I know your listeners probably aren't dealing with the government, but if you do business above the county level, state level, you know, whatever, they're going to pull your Dun & Bradstreet file. And if you don't have a strong one, you're not getting a lot of business. They want to know you're paying your vendors. So it's really important. It's actually a game changer for people who do business with the government. Now I'm talking about small business owners, not, you know, McDonnell Douglas, but a small business owner to do business with the federal government or the state government or even the county government, they're going to look at your Dun & Bradstreet file. And I know this has nothing to do with real estate investing, but it just gives you a bigger picture, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, even you're not going to get unsecured lines of credit with your business credit, but again, You could control your debt to income ratio by putting certain things on the business. You can have the company car that's not tied to you. Next time you buy a car, instead of buying one in your name, you could buy one in the company name. Your cell phone, you said office supplies, your printing, your postage. I mean, just go down the line. Even one Visa with a $25,000 limit could be a game changer for you. That's in the business name. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's also really interesting. I didn't think about that before. Like really shifting all of my personal consumption onto business lines of credit to protect my own personal credit, right?
Right. Yeah, it's got to be legit. I mean, you can't go grocery shopping, but certainly,
no tax fraud. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly take people to dinner, take customers to dinner, take, you know, whatever. And here's the problem. The real problem, Mason, is that because people don't know how to start, they kind of go out there in the dark trying to find credit for the business. And in the beginning, to build your business credit, it's like building a house, right? You got to have that foundation. You got to have that concrete foundation, right? Now, nobody looks at the foundation of a house and goes, man, that's pretty. That's a beautiful foundation, right? Nobody even pays attention to it, right? You see a hole dug in the ground, you see some cinder blocks, and you're like, man, someone's going to build a house, right? But nobody looks at it. They'll look at a pool and landscaping and the exterior and go, wow, that's beautiful. But they're not going to look at the foundation and give it a compliment. So building business credit is the same way. Your foundation, your beginning credit is not a lot of fun. It's net 15, net 30 accounts. It's with office supply places. You can get a gas card with net 30 accounts. Little things like that. Things that we don't generally think about, but they're important. They're the only people that are going to give you credit if you have no business credit profile. Okay. Now here's the problem. I can give you one right now. You go to Quill.com, Quill.com, and apply for credit. But they're going to be looking for certain things that we call fundability factors. But what they really are, Mason, between you and I, fraud detection. That's all they are. Right? And here's why. Keep in mind, this is credit that's not tied to anyone personally. So it's high risk, right? I'm going to sell you office supplies. You're going to fill out a credit application. I'm not having you personally guaranteed. I'm going to ship you $1,000 in office supplies. I'm hoping you pay me in 30 days, right? So it's high risk. So in order to mitigate that risk, they've come up with these factors that make a lot of sense. Most people fail them. So the first thing they're going to look at is your email. Now, how many times have you seen this from a real estate investor or whatever? I buy houses at gmail.com or yahoo.com or God forbid, AOL.com, right? That's a red flag. That's a red, because it's free. I can set that up in 2 minutes, right? Better would be info@ibuyland.com. Make sense, right? Professional email. Now, that's not going to, yes, get you a no immediately, but it is a red flag. They go, okay, now let's look deeper. Second thing they're going to look at is your business address. Real estate investors are notorious for this, guilty as charged. I've done it too. Do not use a P.O. box for your business address, ever. You can use it for a mailing address. Like if you're a landlord, you have tenants, you don't want them to know where you live or even where your office is, you can use a P.O. box. But your corporate mailing address needs to be one of three things and one of three things only. Commercial address, you know, real commercial building, like a manufacturer would have. A virtual address, and I'm going to dive into that here in a second. Or your home. Your home's okay, especially in this day and age, right? Everybody's working from home. Where are we both sitting right now, right? So those three are your passing grades. Everything else fails. P.O. box, UPS box, iPostal. I've seen Staples addresses. I guess Staples is offering P.O. boxes now. I have no idea. I had no idea about that. Simple way to look at it is if you Google Earth and go to ground level, the satellite, go to ground level, and you look at that building and it's a retail store, that's a bad address. If it's a commercial building, like 5, 10, 20-story building, office building, it's fine. If it's your house, it's fine. Okay, so that's the second thing they're going to look at. If you have a P.O. box, it's an automatic denial. They instantly suspect fraud. And it would make sense, because if I was going to commit fraud with you, I would have a I-don't-pay-my-bills-at-gmail.com. I'd have a throwaway cell phone, right? And I'd have a P.O. box. You'd never find me, right? And that leads me to your telephone. It's not expensive to get a real business phone number. I know a lot of investors, especially the iBuy houses, like to have the Google Voice, right? I have one myself. I still have it. The problem is Google owns that number. You do not. If you tried to list that with the National 411 database, it would come up as Google, not as your phone. Lenders check that database to see if you're really in business. If you're a real legitimate business, it's the 800 database. So you can go to a company like RingCentral and get an 800 number forwards to your cell. You go to Vonage, get an 800 number forwards to your cell. Have it listed as the business. And when they check that database, they're going to find your business. And now their level of comfort has gone up. You're legitimately a business, right? Because if you're going to commit fraud, you're not going to buy an 800 number listed with the National 411. You're not going to do any of that. Okay.
What about Twilio numbers?
I don't think they're listable, but that changes on a regular basis. I don't like to give out any advice on phones other than the ones I know for sure. I know RingCentral works. I know Vonage works. You know, we've had other companies say that their stuff works, but if it's not 100%, we don't like to promote it. Right? We don't mind. Go, you know, give it a shot. But, and you go to listmenow.org, I believe it is, listmenow.org, and list your number. Okay? It's free. All right? Sure. Next thing you're going to check, and this one I have a hard time believing people fail at, but they do. If you have a business, open a business bank account. I mean, don't deposit your checks in your personal. First of all, it's a tax liability. But if you have an LLC, S corporation, C corporation, open a real business bank account, because you have something that most people, that 99% of people are unaware of, you have something called a bank credit score for your business. It's 1 through 5, and it's based on your average balance over 90 days. Now, they're not going to share your balance, but they, is it between 0 and 10,000, 10 to 25,000, 25 to 50,000, and so on, okay? But along with that data, they also give the day you open the account, or basically the month and year, right? So if your business was registered in, let's say, July of 2020, but you opened your bank account in June of 2021, you're not a year old. You're 1 month old. Well, in our case, it's let's say April of 2021. You're 1 month old in their eyes. So when you fill out that credit application and put time in business 1 year, they're going to mark you as fraud. You lied because you didn't go into business till you opened your business bank account. I know that's ridiculous, but I'm telling you, Mason, I see this all the time. So if you're out there listening, open your business bank account if you don't have one. All right.
That's interesting. But would my score be penalized if I have several different bank accounts? Because
No.
A lot of zero balances.
No. It's no big deal because there's a credit report out there called LexisNexis. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, I didn't know they did credit reporting. I've used them for a lot of other stuff.
Listen, LexisNexis is the CIA of credit reports. They know everything about you, any license you've ever held, every car you've ever owned, what color it was, what the registration number was, every bank account, every insurance account, were you in the military, what did you do, everything. My LexisNexis is that thick. Like, it's that thick. Because think about all the properties I've owned. It knows everything. Okay? So, no, you don't have to worry about that, having multiple accounts, because I used to move money all over the place, right? I had my property management company, my flipping company, my construction company, my real estate agent, because I'm still a licensed agent. I had all those businesses. I was always moving money. It's no big deal, right? Because your account was open when it was open, and they can see the multiple accounts. So you may get a lower score here, but a higher one here. It doesn't really matter. All right.
Okay. Is there a minimum amount of time that they want to see it open
90 days.
For?
90 days. Well, yeah, you want to be open over a year. Like any other business, the first 5 years are the most dangerous, right? Most businesses go out of business within 5 years. So the longer it's open, the better it looks. And that brings me to a point. Don't buy a shelf corporation. Just don't buy one. Back in the day, that may have worked. They have instant access to data now. Instant access. So unless that shelf corporation came with a bank account that had funds in it the entire 10 years that you're buying, it's going to be marked as fraud. I know someone that did that 90 days later or 120 days later, Dun & Bradstreet marked their account as fraud. And once you're marked as fraud, good luck getting that removed. There's no such thing as the Fair Credit Reporting Act in the business credit world. Now, if something's not legitimately yours, they'll remove it very quickly. But if it is legitimately yours or they suspect fraud and they mark you that way, you're done. You must just close the company, start another one if you're interested in business credit. Okay. Speaking of that, let's talk about the DUNS number. Every business has a right to a DUNS number. They have to give it to you by law. It's DUNS number. You can get that easily by going to dnb.com. That's davidnancyboy.com, DNB. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. They're required to give it to you. It's an international number. Even in China, they get the DUNS numbers are everywhere. It is the number one reporting agency in the business credit world. And if you own a business, you should have a DUNS number. If you've been in business over a year, you may already have one. So when you go to dnb.com, you can hit search DUNS number, put your company name in, the state you're in, hit search. If your name comes up with your address, there's a little link that says email DUNS number. They'll email it to you. So if you've been in business over a year, you might already have one. They'll just automatically assign it to you. If you don't have one, apply for it. It's going to take you about 30 days to get it, which throws people off because they're like, wait a minute, it's just a random number. Why does it take 30 days? Here's why. They've got to give their telemarketers time to call you and sell you something. So they take 30 days. You don't need it. Nothing they're selling do you need. If you're going to build your business credit profile, you want to do it organically, not by placing trade lines, because placing trade lines are dead when you stop paying. In other words, when you stop paying their fee every year, they disappear. That's the only thing they're going to want to try and sell you. So that's the five main factors for fundability. Once you have them lined up, you can easily begin applying for credit and getting approved, right? I gave you one, Quill.com. You buy office supplies, you buy coffee there, you can buy, you know, whatever, paper, doesn't matter. You must spend at least $50 in order for it to report. But, and with Dun & Bradstreet, you need three trade lines before they generate a score. Experian's one, Dun & Bradstreet's three. Experian will generate your BIN number, business identification number, automatically the first time somebody reports to them. So if I gave you credit and you paid me and I report to Experian, when I reported that information with all your data, it would automatically generate a business identification number for you. Okay. And that's really how you get started. And we actually have that on our website. If you go to creditsuite.com, the homepage gives you a four-step business credit building guide. It's pretty easy to do.
Okay.
What do you think?
Credit Suite, yeah, it's all very interesting. Does Credit Suite ever do its own lines of credit or anything, or is it primarily just education?
That's a great question. No, that's exactly what we are. We're an education company. Okay. We have lenders we deal with that we trust, that we introduce people to. We're hands off. We kind of do a handoff and that they work directly with them. We're happy to do that for anyone who's looking for a loan. Matter of fact, we have a program called the Credit Line Hybrid, which is basically a high limit business credit cards. It's a credit card stacker program for those out there who understand what that is, where the lender will get you multiple business credit cards all at once. Typically, it's 3 to 5 times your highest limit credit card you have now, but these go in the business name. You personally guarantee them. And if you manage them properly, I know in my case, they double the limits in 1 year. So if you get 50 grand, you could effectively turn that into 100 if you manage it the right way. Typically, there's 0% interest or introductory rate. Now, that's today. That program could change tomorrow. But you know, last year, it was easier to get. This year has been very difficult for obvious reasons. Credit issuers are tightening up like crazy. I mean, imagine how many businesses were closed for the year, right? But I expect that to expand again as the economy opens back up. So we don't lend. We introduce people to lenders and we let them deal with them directly. We're not like a broker. We don't charge a fee for it. We just do it as a service to our customers who we're helping to build business credit. And even if you're not a customer, if you're just interested and you want to meet the right lender, just reach out to us. You go to info@creditsuite.com. Just email, hey, I'm interested in getting a line of credit. And then one of our people will reach out, make sure you're qualified, get you off the lender, and away you go.
Okay. Do a lot of these lines of credit have annual fees?
Most of them have some sort of, well, they always have an upfront fee, always. And then they only charge you interest based on what you use. And some of them will charge you an annual fee if you don't use it. So if you sit on a $100,000 line of credit, just never use it, they're going to charge you a fee because they're putting that money aside. It's not making that money if you're not using it. Make sense?
All right.
Right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What I did when I was flipping real estate, I got to the point where my hard money lender was like, Steve, you know what? Here's a line of credit because I was turning money every 20 days with them. They just issued me a line of credit. I knew what the rate was going in. I knew what the fees were. I know it's difficult to get a line of credit to invest in real estate because real estate, by the way, is considered a high risk industry. So when lenders look at your application, they look at your SIC code. If you're in real estate, you're considered high risk. So they're going to have much tougher underwriting criteria for you. Oh, even though you have an asset, which I find funny because you have an asset to go with it when you buy, they would give a manufacturer credit line easier than they would ever give a real estate investor credit line. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I wonder if it's also just historically based because...
Well, it's like I said, it's high risk. Look, I had 300 mm-hmm. properties and I got wrecked. In 2009, yeah, wrecked because my goal was to own high rise buildings in downtown Philadelphia. So I was leveraging because at my age, I'm 55. Growing up, I'd never heard of real estate going down. It always went up, right? There was no such thing as a retraction in the real estate market. It may be flat for years, but it never went backwards. That was the first time I'd ever seen that or even heard of it. And I'm sure a lot of people. What's happening right now, I think, is a little bit different. This is just my take on real estate. Again, I'm still licensed. I know here in Florida, the market is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I've gained $100,000 in value of my house in a year. But it's different from 08. It feels different, and here's why. In 04, 05, 06, 07, they were giving mortgages to anybody. If you breathe, if you had a pulse, you're approved. Oh, 0% down, no problem. We'll give you an 80-20. Right. Little different now. Now what we're seeing is just regular demand. They still have the same underwriting criteria they had last year and the year before. You still have to be, you know, to get convention, you have to be a certain credit score. They're not loosening their lending standards by any stretch. Matter of fact, I see more tightening than I see loosening. So I think this market's different. I don't see a crash. Matter of fact, I'm looking around trying to find something to buy because I'm going, it's all priced so high. I'm going, you've been burned once. You don't want to get burned twice. But I really do, in my opinion, think this is a different market. I think this is a true demand market as opposed to a free money market, right?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's what I've heard too. I think a lot of markets around the country have been just crazy, at least in the single family space, like a lot of $100,000 over asking price type of place.
It's insane. And what happens is, you know, it's because we're a remote country at this point. You have access to information anywhere. I can go on Zillow and look up houses in LA if I want to. I'm here in Florida, right? So what you're getting is people maybe selling a brownstone in New York City for $3 million. Right. And they come into Florida and for $700,000, they can have a mansion. Right.
Yeah. Or they buy five houses and rent out four of them.
And there was another thing that happened too. And I don't know if this happened where you're at, but you know, when I moved to Florida after the crash, I was selling houses to these hedge funds in Tampa. They bought thousands of them. And the market they played in was that 1800 to 2700 square foot home. They ate them all up. They still have them. They didn't sell them. They've still got them. They're rentals. So they were buying them at $100,000. These are all worth $300,000 to $500,000 now. Right. So what they effectively did is took out a chunk of the market and held it.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Amazing. I mean, Tampa was just eaten up, and I watch and watch and watch. And I tell my brother, who's still in the business as well, if you want to know when the crash is coming, wait to see what these hedge funds do. If you start seeing their houses hit the market, get out because they know what's coming. Get out. They've got $1 billion wrapped up here. But I don't think that's going to be the case for a while. I think you're going to see places like Texas, Florida, Tennessee. You're going to see real estate boom. I think you're going to see places like New York, California, see it go down. I mean, California lost, 180,000 people? First time ever in history, the population. So I think you're going to see a retraction there because the demand will be less. And I think you'll see our demand where we're at go up. That's just my gut. It has nothing to do with business credit, but I love real estate.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually saw an article about just where rents are falling and where they're rising. And just like you said, those same places they're falling in New York and California and rising in Texas and other places like that.
Florida. Yeah. My brother's an agent in New Jersey. He said he's got lots of sellers and no buyers.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody, I said, where are they going? Florida. Said, well, glad I was ahead of the curve by a decade.
Yeah, definitely.
So anyway, that's what business credit is. If you get your fundability factor set up, and if you can't remember this, that's okay. You can, like I said, go to our website, creditsuite.com. And if you have a question, feel free to reach out to me anytime. I'm happy to just answer questions. You know, you're talking about line of credit, Mason. I can introduce you to a couple of banks that, you know, just I know land's a little bit different. Right. Well, land's a lot different. But there are lenders out there and they're starting to loosen up. It's been a rough year, but I'm starting to see loosening every month. I'm seeing a little bit looser. What I mean by looser is last year we had 300 lenders. We went down as low as 3. They just stopped lending. They were out of business. Well, I'm starting to see them all come back. Hey, we're back again. We want to start lending money again. So I think you're going to see a loosening of not of the criteria, but at least of lenders being with available cash.
Great. Okay. Right. One last question. I've seen this credit card or this company called Brex. They seem to want to specialize in startup credit cards.
Brex? B-R-E-X?
Yeah. Familiar with them? Yeah.
I'm very familiar with them. Okay. So Brex... Man, was great. Years ago, they were fantastic. They gave credit cards with no personal guarantee. They were awesome. That is not the case now. It's a personal guarantee. So they talk about business credit. And a lot of people do. I told you, like Capital One Spark, they talk about business credit, but it's not business credit. It's personal credit. That's the real secret. You have to know what you're dealing with or you can get stuck. See, you know, you can have a 750, 800 credit score, get a Capital One Spark with a $30,000 limit. And because your business is consuming so much, and most businesses do, right? You could max that card out. Well, if you don't know the timing, In other words, you don't know when the closing date is, when they begin to when they report. You could be maxed out every month and your score goes from 800 to 650. Right now, suddenly a great opportunity comes up to buy that you can flip and make 100 grand, and you can't do it because your score has been wrecked. So you need to be really, really careful. If you are stuck with a business credit card that reports from your personal credit, understand when they report and make sure you have no balance the day before.
How do you find out when they report?
You can pull your credit report, actually. It'll say date last reported on it. Huh. I can tell you in my personal case, what I have Discover Capital. I have Capital One. I love Capital One, right? I know one reports on the 18th, one reports on the 19th. I make sure they're paid off by the 15th.
Okay. How do you pull your own credit?
Oh, you can go to Identity IQ and get it. I think it's $19 a month. All the major, they all offer, you know, Experian does. They all offer a subscription plan. Typically, it's $19 a month, $20 a month, something like that, to monitor your personal credit. If you're in the real estate world and you're not monitoring your personal credit, and I'm not talking about the free FICO score you get. I'm talking about a true three-score credit monitoring. You're crazy. You got to know what's going on. So I'm not buying anything. I'm not even using my credit for anything, but I still check it every 2 weeks.
Okay. I thought you meant business credit.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, business credit. If you're checking business credit, the best way to do that is, matter of fact, you can reach out to us. There's a company called NAV. Okay, NAV. And they'll give you your credit report, your business credit report. I think they charge $30 a month, but because we have so many customers that use them, they are customers get it for $24 a month. And if you want to take a look at it now for free, you can go to creditsuite.com/reports, creditsuite.com/reports. And for free, you can see your NAV report, which will give you your Experian, Dun & Bradstreet, and Equifax. Okay. So that's, you know, your listeners, they want to check out their business credit report. Don't be surprised if you see nothing. Because there's another issue. One thing I didn't talk about was congruency. It all needs to match. So if you have two separate addresses, maybe you registered the business here and then you moved and you never really changed it, or the IRS is mailing it to your home, but you have a commercial address. If it doesn't match, they don't report anything. Nothing shows up. So you need to make sure everything out there, Google, everything has the right information about you, the right phone number, the right spelling of your company name. It's all those things that are important.
If I use my home address on credit applications across the board, so it's all uniform, is my home address suddenly public information now?
100%. Okay. Not only that, I can get a picture of your house, which I can get anyway. I mean, just if once I have your address, just go to Google. But your credit report will have a photo of your office.
Okay.
That's why when I see the UPS stores or PO box or you know, iPost or whatever, it'll show a retail store. And you can look at the sign, it says Staples. Well, I know that's not your office. That's Staples. Right? But I see it all the time. So yeah, if you want, just again, creditsuite.com/reports, have your report pulled. And if you want, set up a consultation, we'll go over it with you. We'll show you what's wrong, if anything, how to fix if anything, if it's wrong. And if it's right, we'll be like, yeah, you're ready to go. Start applying for credit.
Okay. Great. So is that the best way for our listeners to contact you? Just go to their website?
Well, yeah, they can do that. They can contact me at Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, at creditsuite.com. If they just want to contact the company, they don't want to talk to me because I never shut up. They can go to info@creditsuite.com. I would suggest, here's what I always tell people. Go to our website. We give away a ton of free information there. I mean, an absolute ton of free information there. You'll learn a lot. It's worth the 15, 20 minutes you're going to spend there. And then they can always reach out. Our phone, our 800 number is there. I don't like to give out phone numbers anymore because people change them. And then the episode looks old. Certainly you can reach us, you know, at info@creditsuite.com.
Okay, great. Yeah, a lot of stuff on the to-do action list now, but this has all been really helpful and enlightening. So thank you very much for taking the time to do this. Is there anything else that we missed that you wanted to cover?
No, we're good. I mean, there's a lot to this, but it's easy if you know, right? So it's like, I'm going to drive from here to your house, right? I have your address. If I don't have a map or a GPS, I might have a difficult time getting there, right? But if I have a GPS and it says 12 hours, I'll bet you I'm there in 12 hours.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, that's building business credit. If you don't have the map, it could take you 5 years to get somewhere you could have gotten in 11 months. And that's the reality of it. And that's really what we're about. And one last note, the reason that we exist to begin with is our CEO was in the real estate mortgage business during the crash. Our COO was in the banking industry. I was in real estate. We've all been burned and we all understood the value of business credit. And we realized no one knew about it. So when our CEO started this company, it was his goal in life to teach people. And if you go to YouTube, he's got like 4,000 videos just teaching people about business credit. That's all he does. God love him, man. He never shuts up. It's worse than me. It's a different company. Our culture here is all about educating people. So we're not going to try and sell you something if you call us. We only sell our program to people who have approached us and say, hey, I want your program at this point. All right. We're happy to give free information. So don't be afraid to reach out to us.
Okay, great. Will do. Yeah.
Perfect.
Thanks again.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
All right, great. Well, talk to you later then. I think that's it.
All right. Thanks, Mason.
Sure. All right. That's another episode of Scalable Real Estate Investing. Thank you for tuning in. Please be sure to leave a review and subscribe on whatever channel you're using to listen or watch these episodes. And also be sure to go to scalablerealestateinvesting.com, scroll to the bottom, and fill out the form to sign up for our email. And you could also reach me directly at mason@scalablerealestateinvesting.com. That's mason@scalablerealestateinvesting.com. If you'd like to get in touch with me to either partner on deals or even be considered to do your own episode on this podcast. Thanks again and have a great day.